Gopal Champu, Chapter 8, Binding Krishna. When the cowherds seated themselves in the assembly on another day, in the early morning, Snigdhakanta spoke as follows. Once at the end of Kartik month, joyful Yashoda saw that Krishna was sleeping with his eyes, which were beautiful as blue lotuses, closed. Caressing him gently with her hand, as he lay on the bed, she let him sleep. Slowly leaving the bed and going outside the room, she quickly tied up her cloth to engage in household chores in the early morning and began churning yogurt. And that day, Rohini mounted a chariot with Balaram and went to the house of Upananda by a special invitation, as if pulled by ropes of affection. The affectionate servants came to complete their work. They were busily engaged because of a great festival of Indra traditional in the family, respected by all people, which would be held at the beginning of the last month of the year, Magha Shirsha. While the servant women were arriving for their jobs, Yashoda was carefully engaged in churning the yogurt and singing while thinking that today her son was sleeping late. Absorbed in her son, she began singing about his pastimes while gazing at his face. Sukadev has said, "One day, when Mother Yashoda saw that all the maidservants were engaged in other household affairs, she personally began to churn the yogurt. While churning, she remembered the childish activities of Krishna, and in her own way, she composed songs and enjoyed singing to herself about all those activities. She had a belt shining with jewels on her blue swaying cloth, and was decorated with attractive jingling bells. She churned the yogurt with her two hands repeatedly while looking at the face of her son, who was just beginning to open his eyes. Her song, "O Tilak of the family of Nanda, you are living in Braj. Since the people here have done hundreds of pious acts, you have given them great happiness. Seeing your actions, the eyes become joyful. By the great festival arising from this bliss, you give bliss to all the cowherds, O King of Gokul, filled with the auspicious action of killing Putana. You engage in auspicious acts after overturning the cart, which destroyed the steadiness of our hearts. The Supreme Lord has brought you back after he killed the whirlwind demon. You crawl about in the beautiful yard. Lotus-eyed child, you are the greatest piety. You show the greatest skill at dancing and playing. You appear most attractive when you hold on to the calves' tails. You show false greed in arguing for fun with the elders. O Krishna, always give happiness to me, your mother. Stay in this house always. Please reveal your playful antics and quickly grow. You show the power of the Lord, causing astonishment and showing the universe within you. May your body remain without old age and death and become the cause of joy by worshiping the Lord." The ocean of beauty woke up and immediately began crying. Getting up, he went to his mother. He appeared to his mother and others as follows. Breathing heavily, bending his limbs, rubbing his eyes, he cried, "Mother, mother." Hearing the sound of churning, he walked on faltering feet to his mother. When Krishna stopped the movement of the churning rod with his soft words filled with affection, caused by his mother's caring attitude, Yashoda fed the infant milk. When the milk flowed from Yashoda like monsoon rains, Krishna was like the Chatuka bird drinking those showers. When Krishna had only half finished drinking, Yashoda, thinking that the milk on the next room may be boiling over, put Krishna down and went to the other room, thinking that she may drop him since she was moving very fast. Madhukanta said, "How could this happen? How could she be thinking of leaving her son, who was becoming thin from hunger, since she was the spotless example of love for her child?" Snigdhakanta spoke with a smile. "First hear this, since Yashoda was the perfection of motherly affection." Madhukanta said, "What is that?" Snigdhakanta said, His parents thought, "This is my son," and from birth had possessiveness with complete disregard for their own bodies and houses. Brahma has said the following concerning all the people of Braj, what to speak of his parents. So what is left for you to give these devotees of Vrindavan, whose homes, wealth, friends, dear relations, bodies, children, and very lives and hearts are all dedicated only to you? Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 14th Chapter, Text 35. Since the milk and yogurt were for Krishna, they were even more attractive than Krishna. This is the special nature of her love. This was her way of thinking. Enduring great difficulties, she was not aware of her household chores that should be done. She thought more of Krishna as her son than her body and house. Making Krishna the object of her compassion, she thought that her duty was to serve Krishna. Krishna also understood that her scolding and punishment were her show of affection. What more can be said of her affectionate caring for him? When the inhabitants of Braj became angry with him, it increased their love for him, just as sometimes the fire of lightning is seen in the thick cloud. The mother and son mutually benefit each other. When she went to take the milk off the fire, she spoke in joy, "I worship you with arati, but for a moment please protect the churning pot. After taking care of the milk, I will come as quickly as I can." While she quickly went from the churning place and then returned, the cloth covering her breast completely sprinkled the path with milk. But because his desire was obstructed, Krishna became very upset. His lips red with anger, and tears flowing from his eyes, he began to cry. He broke the pot with some stones, but did not touch a particle of the butter. Poets describe this. The white moons of his teeth became red like his lips, and his eyes, like jacara birds, became filled with tears. With his two lotus hands, he destroyed the yogurt pot, showing his strength. The yogurt within remained intact. Krishna then created another festival. He carefully took the ghee from the hanging pot and began eating it. He then took the ghee pot away through a side door. Carefully, he struck the door panel to loosen the bolt and then entered the storeroom, bolting the door after entering. Using a wooden bed to climb, he stole the ghee and then fled while no one was looking. Yashoda, seeing the milk had thickened on the stove, took the pot off and quickly returned to her son. Knowing the type of actions of her son, she felt both anger and joy, and then smiled. Though she was worried at first, a message from the sky caused her to smile. The voice from the sky said, "The baby bee, being very thirsty, has not been fully satisfied with honey, and has thus broken the lotus bud. On breaking the lotus and seeing only the contents flow out, without honey, the bee has gone to another lotus and obtained honey. Moreover, you have shown skill in taking the milk off the fire, but you will be praised more for your ability to pacify the anger of your son." Hearing this, she smiled. Seeing his footprints of buttermilk, which indicated the path of his theft, by her own means she was able to unbolt the door and then acted as follows. When Yashoda left the room and saw that her son had made mischief, she followed him and then saw him as he was looking around with fearful eyes. He was moving his eyes about. "I have stolen the ghee, and my mother will see me. How will I meet her gaze?" Fearing her, he moved his eyes from ear to ear. He overturned a mortar and sat on it while feeding monkeys as his eyes moved here and there. Seeing him do this, Yashoda smiled slightly and became filled with astonishment. She silently approached in order to catch her thieving son, but seeing her, he began to flee. It is well known that a thief has 100 eyes, whereas the owner of wealth has only 2 eyes. The proud monkeys became full from eating the butter. Yashoda took a stick and, covering it with cloth, approached. Seeing her, he quickly climbed a tree. She ran after her fleeing son, but the flowers fell from her bound hair. "King of thieves, where are you going?" His beauty increased by his indistinct smiling and crying. She pursued him to catch him, but she could not catch him. just as a group of clouds going west by the wind cannot catch a small cloud going to the east. He ran where he thought his mother could not follow him. Thinking no one else was around, she followed him. When he ran without looking back, she could not catch him. When he looked back in fear, she was able to catch him with her hand. He used his eyes to try to find some way of escaping and began weeping to remove his mother's anger. He made his body falsely tremble out of boldness, but he could not wipe out his bad behavior. When she came face to face with him, he tried to cover his ghee-soaked limbs by smearing himself with dust. Seeing this, Yashoda said, "If you want to steal in this house, then look at this stick in my hand." When her lotus-eyed son was overcome with fear on hearing this, she threw down her stick. "Mother, do not beat me." With a hidden smile, she said, "But you are a thief." In this way, a quarrel began. "Ah, you are the king of thieves. Your father's lineage is all thieves." In this way, the mother argued with the infant who had stolen the ghee. How did the yogurt pot break? It was the Supreme Lord's stick. Who gave ghee to the monkeys? He who created monkeys gave it to them. I think that you always taste and eat the fresh ghee meant for sacrifices. After Yashoda scolded the infant as a thief, her heart softened. Smiling, but with anger, she said, "You should tell your secret and give up your pride." When his mother said this, her son began weeping. "When you ran quickly, the pot broke because of being struck by your anklets. What is my fault in this?" Inspired by the Lord, the monkeys entered the house to steal. "When they pulled at the ghee, I caught it. What is my fault? Seeing you holding a stick, I ran away like a thief. Seeing that I was frightened, you tried to mercilessly beat me without justice." Yashoda spoke with repentance. "O best of thieves with clever words, though you are the son of the king of Braj, you are fond of monkeys and have the nature of a monkey." Fearful and to give fear to his mother, he said, "If I am a monkey, then I will go to the forest and stay there." His mother began to worry with fear. "Who can understand him? A proud child will do this. I must tie him up to prevent this, since I am alone and I cannot continue to pay attention to both the house and this child." But she spoke aloud, "O thief who bewilders everyone with your restless eyes, do not think of avoiding me. After binding you up, I will go to the house quickly. If you show your strength, then steal something else." When she began tying him up, he became so angry that he breathed with a hissing sound. He said, "Rohini, where have you gone with Balaram? Because you are not here, she is binding me up. Please come quickly." Because Rohini was far away, she could not hear. But other women who were neighbors, who had previously scolded him, heard his cries and came. They laughed and said, "Has he done anything at your house?" So that she would remember her own previous words. Ignoring their words, she took an old string from her hair and began binding him around the waist to the mortar near the outer door, just as Rudra's followers bound up Daksha to teach him a lesson. But the string was two fingers too short. She took another silk string from her hair and tied the two together, but still the string was two fingers short. Even when the other women gave up the churning rope, she could not tie him up. Just as a cloud touching a far mountain appears not to touch it, so the rope around his waist appeared to be two fingers too short. The other women laughed and said, "Oh, Yashoda, we told you previously that he makes the original thief, Kapalaka, tremble by his great power of bewilderment. He shows himself to be a thief, taking joy in eating stolen goods." She said, "He was born at the wrong time, thus he does not know good from bad. But I think you have been put under a spell, since internally you are prejudiced against him, but externally you show yourselves differently." Laughing, they said, "Falling at your feet, we swear that we are not under some amazing spell." She then began to think, according to Garga's words, the Lord's powers are covering this boy, and he does not know what is happening. She repeatedly brought churning ropes from the women's houses to see the limits of astonishment and tried to bind him up, but found no way to do so. Attempting to bind her son, she found no end in this endless task. Perspiration flowed over her limbs and her hair became loose. As much as Krishna made efforts to show his stubbornness, Yashoda's attempts became useless, as if under the influence of bad planets. It is understood that when his mind became moved by her fatigue, he became bound up by the first two ropes alone. All the other ropes became unnecessary. A performer of actions, Yogamaya, acting according to his desires, created this incident for his mother, which appeared like some illusion. Yogamaya performed such acts daily. Having tied up Krishna, she lengthened the rope with the other ropes and tied him to the mortar. Having tied him up and showing harshness to him to teach him, his mother went to do her household chores with the other women who were laughing. She placed other boys around him to protect him. When the women left, he pretended to cry for a while. Then he became joyful at the prospect of moving the mortar to many places. Though he was tied up, with great faith, increased by being surrounded by the boys, he played with them while smiling, moved the mortar bit by bit, while they also laughed. He then had them go to the empty houses of the women and steal the butter hanging in pots. But he did not desire to free himself from the mortar using his hands or any instrument in order to give joy by pulling the mortar. Then he saw the two Yamala Arjuna trees situated near the town gate, whose leaves were dancing in the wind. Gradually he made his way towards those trees. Snigdhakanta, in freely describing this incident of breaking the two trees, wanted to show not the Lord's power, but something else. Then desiring to go to another place, he went along the path between the two trees, but the path was narrow between the trees and sloped down. The mortar became stuck between the trees. Desiring to pull down the two trees, he started pulling hard. A terrible sound arose from the trees, and he pulled the two trees down. All the inhabitants of Braj, other than the deaf, could not maintain their composure on hearing that sound. What was most astonishing, however, was that Krishna had broken the two trees, which were as hard as thunderbolts, but he could not break the bondage of affection he had with his mother. Poets praise this. I praise the child cared for by the women of Braj. He has a dark complexion, and his ankle bells jingle. He gives joy when he crawls. He produced a rough sound as he pulled the mortar over the earth. His eyes became restless as the curious, thunderous sound of the falling Arjuna trees. Hearing the fearful sound of the falling trees, the inhabitants remained in a fainting condition for a muhurta. Only the boys around Krishna did not faint. Experiencing the height of sweetness of his pastimes, they did not become frightened and remained immobile like painted pictures. Hearing that sound from far off, the villagers speculated on its origin and went towards the place. Arriving all at the same time and full of anxiety, they conversed with each other. How have those trees fallen without wind, without rain, without thunderbolts, without an attack by elephants? How is it possible for someone to uproot the trees when there is no one here? For that reason, everyone fainted on hearing that loud sound. They noticed that Krishna was near the trees and that he was smiling. Pulling the mortar, he was experiencing bliss in his actions. They surrounded him, saying, "How did this happen?" Seeing his father coming from behind, Krishna began crying. His frightened father smiled in order to comfort the child and then untied him. Kissing the child's face, he repeatedly asked what happened, though he knew the cause of his being tied up. "Where is the rascal who has tied you to the mortar?" Attached to his father, he approached him after some time and whispered in his ear, "Oh, father, mother did this." Yashoda, after recovering from fainting and repenting what she had done, told Nanda everything. Thus he already knew. But he did not want to say anything suddenly to Krishna while alone with him. Not with disrespect, but out of ignorance of the details, he asked the other boys, "How did this happen?" The boys spoke. Krishna went between the two trees in order to go to a wider space for playing and pulled the immovable mortar by its base in a crooked manner. He produced a cracking sound in the trees and then suddenly made them fall to the earth. Then two people like fire, decorated with bracelets, crowns, and earrings, emerged from the broken trees and offered respects in all directions. They praised Krishna. The two then departed for the north. Hearing this, all the people with parental feelings, including Nanda, dismissed it as children's talk. Others, however, could not remove the doubt in their hearts. Gradually, one by one, others came and joined Nanda. Holding Krishna on his chest, he went to the Yamuna River to perform his daily rites. Taking a bath with his son, he had brahmanas chant auspicious prayers and, after dismissing them with great gifts, returned to his house to take his morning meal. Being unhappy because of separation from Krishna and ashamed of having tied him up, Yashoda did not come out of the house and did not talk to other women in the house. When the other women left, Rohini, who solves all problems, surrounded her along with the respectable kitchen assistants. Nanda brought Krishna and Balaram and ate his meal with them while engaging in affectionate, soft talk. He relaxed with the two who were supreme bliss incarnate for the two Mahurtas. His heart was satisfied, as if lying on a soft bed. He went to the cow shed at the time the cows came and supervised their milking. Bringing white sugar from the house, he had the two boys, along with his friends, drink the most beneficial milk fresh from the cows as a substitute for breast milk. He taught them how to write some letters. Entering the house, he met with others to have his evening meal. Desiring unbroken happiness for his son, the head women, including Rohini, the jewels of their families, came and made a request. O king, Yashoda has not eaten all day and she does not speak to anyone. Seeing that, all have also followed her example. Nanda spoke with sadness and a smile. What can we do? After showing anger, one should regret one's fault. They said with tears in their eyes, Ah, she is very soft internally and externally. She will be devastated by your words. Slightly smiling, Nanda then asked his son, We'll go to your mother. Krishna said, No, I will spend my time with you. Then the wives of Nanda's elder brothers said, Whose milk will you drink? Krishna said, I will drink fresh milk from the cows mixed with sugar. They all said, Who will you play with? Krishna said, I will play with my father. I will bring my brother also. Nanda said, Will you not go to your brother's mother? Angrily, Krishna said with tears in his eyes, She left me and went away. Hearing this, Rohini, with tears in her eyes, said softly, O son, why are you so harsh? Your mother is suffering. Not listening to her words, Krishna, with tearful eyes, glanced at his father's face. To attract Krishna, Rohini gave a signal to Balaram. Balaram went to Krishna and held his hand. Krishna rejected his hand and went to the lap of his father and held his arms around his neck, looking at Nanda's tear-filled eyes and bringing Nanda under his control. Seeing Krishna's internal affection for his mother, Nanda raised his hand as if to beat Yashoda in order to reveal Krishna's affection for her. O son, if you agree, I will beat her. Krishna could not tolerate this and blocked Nanda's hand. Smiling again, Nanda, showing great compassion because of his parental affection and understanding the heart of Krishna's mother, said, O son, if your mother is in this condition, what will you do? He spoke while smiling, indicating that she would die. Because of his childish nature, Krishna immediately became anxious for his mother. With tears in his eyes, he said, Where is mother? I must go there. In anxiety, he went to Rohini's lap. While all were noisily laughing, Rohini, who bestows the greatest happiness, took him and entered the house. He hugged his mother's neck while crying in joy. She kissed the child's head and made sounds like a cow. With melted heart, she sobbed, making all others there sob. Yashoda pacified the women with comforting words, and a slight glow appeared on her face. She appeared healthy with a beautiful face, and satisfied her child with breast milk. With the other helpful women, she fed him and Balaram. For 3 days after the incident, being reserved, Yashoda did not show herself to Nanda. But on another day, Krishna, on the order of his father, brought her to him, holding the edge of her cloth. From the day that he was bound, the women of Braj called the beautiful dark child Damodara in a joking way. What poet amongst all the people in this world can describe Yashoda, whom Shukadev Goswami has said is much superior to Brahma, Shiva, and Lakshmi? The drum roll of her fame, announced by Shukadeva, wanders throughout the three worlds with great renown. Neither Lord Brahma nor Lord Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 9th Chapter, Text 20. Balaram said to Krishna with anticipation, "O brother, do you remember that you said we could live in the big forest?" Krishna said with a smile, "Oh yes, we will go and play there." Finishing the story, Snigdhakantha said, "O king of the cowherds, a son has been born to you who transformed the trees into celestial devotees." All the assembled people, realizing their joy from these narrations, then returned to their homes.